Since the Second World War, Japan and Boeing have been bosom buddies. That closeness seems to have ended today.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with a global perspective on business and economics. Europe's Airbus has just picked up its first major deal with Japan Airlines. The company's won an order worth nearly $9.5 billion at the expense of what has traditionally been the jet builder of choice for JAL, Boeing. Joining us live from London is Marketplace's Europe correspondent Stephen Beard. Good morning.
Hello, David.
So tell me about this deal. What exactly is Japan Airlines buying?
31 A350 planes with an option to buy a further 25. This is a more fuel-efficient wide-body aircraft than its predecessors. Airbus claims it uses 25% less fuel than previous aircraft of this type. This order is a sign of the times. Carriers increasingly want to cut their fuel costs because their revenues are down and they're worried about rising fuel prices.
No one assumes gnashing of teeth at Boeing, but how much of a blow is this?
It is a blow to Boeing, no doubt about it. As you say, they had the Japanese market sewn up. This is the biggest ever order for an Airbus plane from a Japanese carrier. The A350 is a direct competitor of Boeing's 787 Dreamliner, which, as we recall, has been hit by all sorts of technical and safety issues this year. However, Boeing is still ahead with the Dreamliner globally, while Airbus has secured about 750 orders in total for the A350. Boeing has sold more than 950 Dreamliners.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard in London, thank you. Now let's check the numbers. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down nearly 1% at the moment. In London, the FT 100 index is down 0.7%. Now, companies strive to be clever, but Thomson Reuters says it's figured out a way to measure it. Today, the Business Data and News Agency released a list of the world's 100 most innovative companies. U.S. companies dominate, taking nearly half the spots. But what about companies in the world's second largest economy? From Shanghai, Marketplace's Rob Schmitz reports.
China had, drumroll please, zero companies that made this global list. Bob Stembridge, one of the authors of the report, may sound a little defensive about China's absence from the list. That's because Chinese companies are widely known to lead the world in volume of patents for new inventions. But this report focused on those inventions' quality, not quantity.
It's more the question of how important those inventions are perceived to be, and so therefore how widely those organizations are seeking to protect their invention outside of China.
In other words, the more innovative your invention, the more protection you'll seek for it globally. Most Chinese companies aren't doing that. 93% of their patents are filed solely inside the country. But Stembridge says that's changing. Chinese telecom companies ZTE and Huawei are beginning to look globally for their patents, ensuring that China may be represented on global innovation lists to come. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
With no movement apparent in Washington on ending the partial government shutdown, conservatives are pushing the idea of letting Congress authorize funding for budget lines piecemeal. This coincidentally comes at a time when a handful of cities are running pilot projects to give the public, as opposed to politicians, a bigger say on how city budgets are spent. It's called participatory budgeting, and San Francisco's among the places trying it. Marketplace's Queena Kim reports.
The idea behind participatory budgeting is simple. Let ordinary folks decide how to spend public money. To show me how it works, San Francisco supervisor David Chu took me to the Chinatown branch library.
It was actually our Chinese immigrant seniors that made the push for books in their language. It's not something that I'd thought about until it was brought to my attention through this process.
For the pilot, Chu set aside $100,000. Residents in his district attended town hall meetings, debated the issues, and voted. They gave money to local businesses. They provided rent assistance for people getting evicted. A few hundred people took part in the pilot.
I have 75, 80,000 constituents, many of whom have no idea that this budget process is happening. But I think there's an opportunity with technology to engage many more people.
The idea is to slowly move that process online. The city is still hashing out how that might work, but it's got a model in Brazil.
One of the smarter uses of technology that I've seen with participatory budgeting in Brazil is getting wired vans that take internet access to those neighborhoods that aren't as wired.
Tim Bonneman is CEO of Intellitix. His startup is among a growing number of companies finding ways to use digital tools to improve civic participation. Instead of going after flashy, sexy apps, Bonneman says techies need to tackle basic problems like access to technology.
Hey, welcome to Code for America. I'm Mick.
Code for America is a nonprofit in San Francisco that helps bring technology to cities. Mick Thompson is Code for America's engineering resident, and he says it's not as easy as it looks.
There's occasions when cities think, well, we can just bring together a hackathon and we'll have this solved in a weekend, right?
Thompson says cities don't always understand that even the best apps and software need to be constantly updated and tweaked, and that costs money. And sometimes it just doesn't work. In San Francisco, I'm Queen Akim for Marketplace.
Yeah, and before we go, folks selling ads for TV shows have their ratings to make the case. But what if ratings are only okay? Well, maybe there are tons of tweets. On the theory that tweets equal buzz, which equates with audience engagement, Twitter is starting a TV ratings service today to measure the intensity of the chatter about a show. To quote Oscar Wilde, there is only one thing in life worse than being tweeted about, and that is not being tweeted about. Okay, it's a paraphrase, not a quotation. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.